Okay, so what I'll do, I'm gonna rapidly say a lot of this again, because once you've got it, you see it's not that much, many pages, not that detailed. Let's enjoy the span of it all. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
Then again, maybe we should.
Maybe you can repeat it and comment from your.
Well, let's go to my notes. I just realized we better do the notes. Let's see what I highlight in the number five, so then I could reference this when I read it through. So in my notes, number five is November 68. I've got a lot of words written here. I've got archetypalizing nature, DNA, the establishment, civil war of senses, Finnegan's Wake, page 52. I've got satellite tactility. Business does media ecology in quotes. Cavell was a McLuhan scholar, did a book on McLuhan in the early 2000s. I have a reference to him, Richard Cavell. He's out there in British Columbia. And concept art. He does the history of concept art, which was prominent, was a new art form in the late 60s when this was newsletter was written. So McLuhan's part of the concept art and minimalist art world. I have obsolescence of city, the resonant bond, chemistry, the lines between elements in the 19th century. You know, you do your chemical text and it shows the lines linking elements. James Joyce and the Rose of Castile. Youth bridges the conscious and unconscious. Have the Wild West. Cavell also talks about auditory space as dynamic. Temple of Ammon on page 15, programming the planet to see page 14 on clothing, Freud, chemistry, NASA, high-rise buildings, counter-mosaic, bards, page 11. Oh, bard, the poets, bards. Oral culture of cowboys. There it is. As you lose your visual bias, Roxy, you're attracted to the oral culture of cowboys. Remember that. Who's that? Was that Roxy howling? Wow.
Yeah.
She's going into her acoustic her tribal self. Tetrad management at top of and in editorial in number, I have in number seven. Oh, okay, that's coming up, number seven. Tetrad management at top of and in editorial in number seven, January 6th. Not sure about that. It's not ours. So what my notes here, there's a lot of ideas in this 12, 15-page thing. So I would just make little notes and remind myself of the themes, the neat themes, and a couple of extensions I might make, my own user's content. Like I have in here, obsolescence Bucky Fuller. That is not said here, but he's pointing to the obsolescence of Bucky Fuller and the dome. Okay, so is that good? We covered that?
Yes.
You're happy with that? Yes, let me try to read a lot of it. And I will not give the quote marks, just hear the words. I will not say where things are, what size print they are. When Oswald Spengler published his gloomy Decline of the West in 1918, he noted with despair the encroachment of irrational numbers on the previously rational Western mathematics. And that's back when mathematics was a big deal. You know, late 19th century, early 20th century, mathematics was the leading charismatic science. Then it got replaced by physics, and then physics got replaced by biology in the 70s, say. In fact, however, this was only one of the numerous and decisive innovations that had inherently the power to transform the rational Western world into an irrational Oriental one. There's only one example. 1844 was the year of the first commercial telegraph. It was also the year that Soren Kierkegaard published his Concept of Dread. Any speed up of information or of hardware alters the intervals of time and space between people and events. is this world of the interval and not the world of the connection that is decisive in all matters of change. What is the underlying dynamic, and underlying dynamic is underlined, what is the underlying dynamic between these technological advances and the terror they inspire in the greatest minds of their time? It is this. For 25 centuries, the Western world had controlled the interval by the convention of the alphabetic or pictorial bond. The 19th century had considered the chemical bond as a connection and represented it by a line drawn between the symbols of two chemical elements. But in 1939, Linus Pauling opened his classic, The Nature of the Chemical Bond, with the heading Resonance and the Chemical Bond. Bert, you notice that you get nothing about resonance in your high school education. You know, as when if you went to school, the 70s, 80s. This book came out in the late 30s. You see how the educational system of America has to say visually biased. They're popping up the mean of visual bias and ignoring, till recently, the actual changes that were happening in the 20th century. This is what Bruce Lipton's going on. He's reciting old stuff like the quantum mechanics revolution of the 20s and saying, man, we don't even have that as our model in medicine. So he's right, but he's a product of an obsolete educational system that has not kept the population up to speed, not because the teachers are stupid, is that they are unconsciously dedicated to the visual space meme. And they call that science. They said, we're here to establish science. They don't notice the science has gone acoustic. So this is good. This is good, Bob, evoking new patterns here. Thus, quantum mechanics ended the lineal bond and introduced into chemical theory a new concept, that of resonance. You see, my poetry is way better than Ginsberg's, Leonard Cohen's, or Bob Dylan, or anybody else, except when you're partying. But my stuff can be a good party. But this is the real poetry, this stuff. Saying this is what poetry used to do. Get you outside of your culture.
Yes.
A song doesn't get, you know, the Radiohead doesn't get you outside of your culture. They just help you merge with your culture, make you feel good or feel bad, depending on your preference. Page 3. This basic shift from connection to interval, from the continuum of visual space to the interval of acoustic space, is a takeover that has affected every form of human organization, inner and outer, individual and corporate. It even affected the mafia. After 2,500 years of alphabetic and typographic culture, it is not easy for us to adjust suddenly to the non-visual inner space of the interval and to the ferment of the interface. Think of the Android meme replaying all this, putting everybody in each other's face. I'm in your face. Late 90s TV, as the Web 1.0 came in, Web 2.0, you can't get outside of anybody's face. You're stuck to each other's face. Facebook.
I just want to comment, because of what you just said about poetry. How
yes.
With the poems, we make another types of bonds with words.
Yes.
That
might not,
we're that these ones are not so evident.
What's not so evident?
Some bonds that we can make, like a metaphor or.
Yes, you get new metaphors.
Some
from what
connection.
I'm talking about, but what we're doing here is not collaging sentence and paragraphs, like, say, Finnegan's Wake. We're collaging whole chunks of creative people. We're collaging LaRouche's Bass Encyclopedia up against William Thompson's Encyclopedia versus McLuhan versus Croker versus Dobbs, and then Ion in the middle. This is the in the encyclopedic environment that everybody experiences today. You have to collage on huge levels. So McLuhan began this. McLuhan's the best guide to the hyper-poetics, multi-text, but I get the opportunity to do it, to act it out with more media than he did, and to collage things that include things that he didn't include as memes, all miming what's happening in the Android meme anyways. Okay, when you're laughing, you're learning. Bert's learning a lot. He's laughing.
The new type of bond, before it used to be mortar language, but now we're moving to a new type of
you know
bonding.
What it is? James Bond. James Bond. Espionage. It's spying. As McLuhan said in the 60s, espionage is a daily activity. Surveillance, yeah. Ubervalence. Ionic surveillance. The point is that everybody is reduced to being an information espionage, double, triple agent, quadrophenically. And you'll see that in the TV shows. People are ready to quit and drop and change and abandon the strike, join the strike, you know, hop from one zone to another rapidly. It's not metaphysical promiscuity anymore. It is formal promiscuity or multimedia, what's the word Carolyn has? Pico. Nano communities. Nano means. What?
Amalgam.
What'd you say?
Amalgam.
Amalgam. What's what is that? Amalgam.
Tooth filling.
Amalgam. Amalgam.
Amalgam.
Yes, when you're among the English, say it that way. You don't have to say it with your buddies over there at the prison at Mexico, but the concentration camp in Mexico. I had another thought there. The re-amalgamergence. Wasn't that a word we were talking about, Roxy, last week? Re-amalgamergence? Somebody suggested that word. Maybe that was another cult I was running. That's another thing. I'm running several cults here, okay?
It's your hobby to start churches.
And when I get going here, this is the best way to learn and communicate and engage with what I'm presenting here, with Ion as backup. I mean, it's the only way to stretch your mind, right? Or stretch your perception of things. You know, you know what to use. You know, McLuhan said the artist always knows what to throw away from the past, what to preserve. My chart on the individual teaching level, the LaRouche, the anthropomorphic people level, I knew what to preserve. Of all the bullshit that came down in the 20th century, I picked the top team. And then you collage them as your content. So we're at this point where to make the transition from the outer trip of the visually oriented man to the inner trip, this is Tim Leary, of the audio tactile world is to shift from west to east. Now McLuhan didn't consider just taking LSD an inner trip. He considered going out into space as an inner trip. He said the guys who managed NASA were 19th century minds who thought they were going on an outer trip. But he didn't know that space. They didn't know that actually space, like Ion says, is acoustic, and it's not visually demarked outer space. It is an inner trip. And Ion, when it says we and Earth are bigger than Jupiter and more central than all the other spaces and planets and galaxies out there, then that makes outer space inner space. McLuhan's inner space. So McLuhan is agreeing with Ion. To understand that you can dive into the Pacific Ocean and go into a space that's bigger than the Hubble telescope, that's violating visual measurement standards. That's going into a multi-level dream dimension, which we could call inner trip. See? Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Yes.
With Bob's poetry and hyperpoetics, you can think while Ion is in your midst. I give you the tools to think and talk back to Ion. Not because you disagree with Ion, but just you can keep the dialogue going. Right?
That's a good point. Yeah. Because what you learn from you in engaging Ion is that when Ion gives you an answer, that's like a piece of puzzle to continue to expand your thoughts to. They're giving you a breadcrumb to continue. And that's what you're very good at.
No, I would add this. I use the McLuhan and Thompson and the content of Dobstown to say, is this what the puzzle is? And then that allows Ion to go past McLuhan to bring in the part of the puzzle that the Holy Office didn't do. See? So it's taking the best breadcrumbs and saying, we already know what the breadcrumbs are leading to. And then Ion says, no, back off, Bob. You're leaving out this or that. See, that's how we find out. We take the best stuff to say, these guys are presenting your picture puzzle conclusion, and Ion can say no. I mean, he destroyed Lipton. Can you imagine the New Agers who bought Lipton's books and tapes and think he's a fucking god and gave up Christianity and started being a pagan worshiper of him? They heard this fucking thing talking about Bruce. Holy shit, they would be in trouble.
Yeah.
He barely made it to the board meeting. You know, I barely tolerated discussing the worm. The worm. Okay. And I'm talking technically, Bruce, when I say worm. You're lost in the inner tunnels of the inner trip of the quantum landscape that's just merely a retrieval of the audible tactile world. How's that for rationalization of insult? Okay, the final paragraph, page 3. Backward and non-literate.
It's so poetic. It's even beautiful.
I know. I mean, you know, Roxy gets all horny on all this stuff. She's masturbating right now as she listens to this. This is how good this poetry is. I know that.
Yeah, I have to keep awake. I mean, how many survivors?
You have to massage yourself. Yeah, to survive, you've got to keep rubbing yourself. And who knows what Bert's doing? I'm not being male chauvinist here, Bert. What is your wife doing with you right now, Bert? Is she keeping you awake?
Yes.
Okay. Backward and non-literate cultures and individuals take readily to non-visual or electric technology. McLuhan called them the modern electronic yokels. That'd be the hippies, the punkers, the pop culture maniacs, the people around Andy Warhol at the factory. These were the backward and non-literate and post-literate cultures and individuals take readily to non-visual or electric technology, which is the world of the new quantum mechanics or of the resonating chemical bond, or he would write other places, or the hippie. That's what he would add. The hippies certainly didn't think that they were yokels at the time they were the focus point. Page 4. In a later newsletter, we can look at the new consortium and the new conglomerates of our business world as the end of private goals, that's visual goals in business, the end of private goals in business, that means working for yourself, in favor of a chemical bond or resonance. In other words, all corporate environments become service environments. They're so ecstatic and so much fun. Well, the record industries, CBS and the big record companies of those days, they had nothing to do but just keep the music going. Right? They didn't have to go anywhere. They just had to keep the content going. They worked for keeping that industry happening, which led to Frank Zappa as an attempted anti-environment. So we can look at the new consortium and the new conglomerates of our business world as the end of private goals, private visual goals in business in favor of a chemical bond or resonance. Now that means mafia figures, CIA, police infiltrators in a corporate board. Because of resonance. It's a practical expression of efficient causality as resonance. So many different groups had to, that were former enemies, had to start working together in the global implosion. The conglomerate is the achieved image of the re-tribalization of the business world. A conglomerate has no goal. Whereas individual businesses with their individual goals were homogeneous private enterprises, the new conglomerates are extremely diverse and surprising in their discontinuities and their gaps or intervals. The executive is dropout. The straight man and the conglomerates are hipper than the people who drop out and try to form little private businesses because they want to be on their own. They want to be their own boss. Now, that's a trend you can make fun of, but the trend continues because the digital world favors the small enterprise or the cottage economy everywhere. So, temporarily, the corporate moguls were the hippest guys for a while, the Peter Druckers. And that's why Marshall called them the men who came to listen. And they didn't have to do anything. They had their slack, their credit card for a while. Management is undergoing the same revolution today as the world of mechanical hardware technology underwent yesterday when it was invaded by electric information and software configuration. So the old 19th century mechanical world was invaded by electric information and software configuration. So the electric 20th century upset the industrial assembly line world of the 19th and early 20th century. Now note this, management is undergoing the same revolution. It's a sentence like that. In other words, we're talking about electric invading the mechanical, but that is 20 years ago or 80 years ago. What is happening to management? This is a trilateral commission. This comes out in 1968 when cosmic awareness said the Rockefellers and Rothschilds were now out of sync. That's what they said through Dave Worster. Gold crisis, I think, in March 68. Beter does a lot of this history. March 68, they had a crisis in London in the establishing of the gold standard. And by 69, Rockefeller and, as an awareness said, they had emptied their bank accounts unwittingly because they had projected their budgets ahead of time and what they were going to do over the next 50 years, and all of a sudden money was obsolete. Any future scenario where you would be already had happened because there was nowhere, no goals possible, so the whole orientation of money towards the goals was obsolete. And so, to put it in simple terms, awareness said the oligarchy were off balance, out of sync. You might hear me somewheres discussing that with Dave Worster, even on either CKLN or in recent talks with Dave. The point is that learning that, my father was onto that a bit, but getting it confirmed by awareness, that was a cool thing to know in 1968-69, because you knew that the figure would become the Illuminati, the old Illuminati. The old grand designers would become the figure, and that would lead to all that Watergate and conspiracy meme that LaRouche and Mae Russell were expert in. But I liked Mae Russell because she had a sense of humor about it. LaRouche had a sense of humor about it. But LaRouche ran the cult. Mae didn't really have a cult. So the point is you found people who perceived that management itself was in trouble and was going to start murdering itself, shooting itself. And Mae Brussels and LaRouche's literature in the 80s is great documentation of management shooting itself constantly because management on the corporate level was obsolete. So when you knew that, you were a happy-go-lucky guy and kept going to at least the ball hockey court when I was in Canada. Couldn't get to the beach that much. I got to the ball. I played a lot of ball hockey with youngsters because I was free and footloose and happy and knew that I'd be in charge eventually. As they all off themselves. You know, it's like Robert
Duvall. There were, I don't know how many bankers killing themselves. I don't know if this trend.
That's right.
It's obsolete.
Those are homeopathic. You know what that is? That's the Android meme replaying the crisis of the 80s. That's the Android meme, homeopathically speeding it up, redoing the images because it fascinates the few people still looking at it. It's replaying, and that's my chart, replayed faster and faster. That's the Mae Brussel world. I had another thought there, which is speeding along. Okay, well, maybe it'll come back. On to the next page. Isn't this fun going too fast? Right?
No.
Yes.
No. Say no.
I like your comments. The comments.
Everything is speeding up, just said.
Yeah, when I start going faster, I get faster perceptions. I'm operating at my level, not like slowly plodding along with the INETs and make Bob look stupid. I get stupid the slower we go. Okay. The theme of this letter is contained in Through the Vanishing Point, Space and Poetry and Painting, 1968. The vanishing point is a perspective made possible by a fixed view on a fixed target. Remember, McLuhan says, the targets are changing faster than you can get an aim on them. You try to get you aim your rifle, your arrow at a target. It's shifted already. You can't keep up with a shifting target. So you can't really get a stable position to fire at the target. So the vanishing point is a perspective made possible by a fixed view on a fixed target. Today, nobody can occupy a fixed position or find a fixed or stationary target. That led to more slack when he knew that 50 years ago. Electric technology excludes both possibilities. Can't have a fixed position, you can't have a stationary target. Most people can still remember the time when fixed positions and fixed targets were taken for granted. The establishment, capital E, that's the Illuminati, is still a 19th century affair, entirely related to such assumptions. Our social, political, and educational arrangements still assume goals and objectives as normal possibilities and aspirations. That's a practical statement of what Worster said. Rai, the original awe, the original establishment, returns to the plane of essence. It was happening in the deepest metaphysical sense and was happening in our corporate practical world. The establishment, Rai, was still a 19th century affair. Okay. In fact, however, a young doctor, that's the modern priest, modern priesthood, a young doctor is as obsolete on the day he graduates as is any engineer. There's the two forms of Rai for the baby boomers. Both have spent years acquiring long packaged information data while living in a total field world of information mosaics that are moving at high speed. A total field is an area of multiple conglomerates and intervals. Conglomerates, see, no connections, really. Connecting within the conglomerate, but no connections between the conglomerates. and that leads to lots of borderline clashes and violence. A total field is an area of multiple conglomerates and intervals whose interfaces create a vast ferment of rapidly changing patterns. The psychic and social influences of the Orient will take over the West much more rapidly than we have intruded. Now, here's the point. This is where Japan takes over the economy and Sony in the 80s. They collapse later phases of the Android meme. But in the business world, you all remember Japan was king for a couple decades, right? That's the Orient.
Yeah. Yes.
McLuhan predicted it. Turning Japanese, wasn't that a song? The psychic and social influences of the Orient will take over the West much more rapidly than we have intruded upon them. Our TV generation has gone inner and Oriental already. So the Oriental was going to win the world, was going to win the general up-to-date sensibility. But China would win the old 19th century establishment, the old financial world, as they became West. In our 19th century hearts, we say, quote, we are holding back the rising tide of communism in the world. You know, we said in I think it was Duline number one, you have hardware communism in the 19th century and software communism in the 20th century. Two kinds of communism. But the sentimentalists in the police forces and the Pentagon are holding back a monadic view of communism. We're holding back the rising tide of communism in the world. Whereas McLuhan would say, what are you talking about? The United States has been the most communist environment since the 50s. Anyways, he was altering the terms to distract the triggermen, the elites, and to needle the somnambulants. The somnambulants, that would be your parents, me, my generation, the one well before you guys. Back born in the 20s and 30s. McLuhan was needling us. I was the only one who got it and avoided the fucking somnambulism. Now I can't even sleep.
The access of information in the internet is like the most communist ever.
That's right. It is utopia. It's like they call it aboriginal, living in the Philippines with 25 people. And all the dreams and life and wakefulness and ayahuasca you could want is where we're at. Let's take it further than tribal communism. Go back to the most primitive, maybe even cavemen who McLuhan said were not tribal. They were wandering individuals, a lot of them. That's what we are, nomads. We're cavemen. And he said that in the 50s. Then you have to learn what he meant by cavemen. A diligent attention to the details will get you to that point. I apparently was the only one who survived that climb of Mount Everest of knowledge. See, this is so poetic what I'm doing here. This is the way you do it. I'm Rhapsode, right? Yeah. Rhapsode.
But Bob, this is a perfect platform. This is a perfect platform,
right?
Because McLuhan's big point was the electric media, how it changed everything, and looking at you, how you always talked about cold fusion, and now having ion on board and the RNA drops, this is a very large platform that is starting to visualize, if I could say that, with what you're doing.
Starting to be a figure. Starting to be a figure, no longer the hidden ground. And there was a point there, the electric... I rose on the waves of the Android meme, but it was going to flip into ion. There was some aspect you were saying, describing the electric environment, but I'm well past that. I'm able to handle the advanced McLuhanism of what he didn't write, but was written by, say, Arthur Croker. You know what I mean? About the Android meme phase. And then that killed everybody and left me standing alone with Carolyn to do the final phase back home at Source Energy. The horse, of course, Mr. Ed. Turned out to be Mr. Ed. Okay.
The American pharaoh winning the race.
Pharaoh. That's Bob, the American pharaoh. Wasn't that a beautiful – you guys didn't hear it. Well, I'll play for Bert later.
The American pharaoh dressed as a Luckenbach cowboy.
Yeah, looking back, look at the punning of the book. Ion built this up over, 8-9 weeks of references looking back to Pharaoh, to all the different themes, and here I am acting it out right now, the American family, Bob Neverett, looking back at his victory and how he didn't even have to go and collect the lottery, for fuck's sake. He already was richer than anybody who would win the race. So here we are. This is Bob's. You know how the opposition would rebut the State of the Union, like you know the president would give the State of the Union, and the head of the Congress, the opposition would rebut it. That's what I'm rebutting all that's happened so far in the history of humanity. This is Bob's response to what humanity got to at this late stage of the end of the beginning. Okay. In fact, our electric service environment. That's really what it is. Electric service environment works for itself, works for you, is already a tribal communist form exceeding anything known to any tribal society of the past. So I'm saying you got to even take it further than tribalism. Go back to the autonomous caveman. All members of our society have free access to communal services of electric information that far exceed the dreams of private wealth to invent or provide for itself. And that started to affect the Rockefellers and Rothschilds. Their visual space wealth was not equal to the wealth that somebody on welfare had in terms of the media environment of the late 60s, early 70s. Of course, now it's not even human, the wealth. Our accelerated effort to teach the Orient our Western skills and procedures will succeed. So we will succeed in making them go west, even as we ourselves abandon our own Western culture, which are teaching them via the electric route. And then some way, that's what the blacks picked up. Hey, you guys are teaching us how to become literate, and you people who are teaching me aren't literate anymore. That's what the black power people intuited. All right? All right. As indicated in the October 1968 issue of the McLuhan-Dewline at the present time, the educational budget of the United States for westernizing the Orient, war is education, we refer to it as the Vietnam War, far exceeds anything we would consider reasonable to spend on our own backward members of society, our own backward members. The NASA scientist who imagines that he is pushing onward into the 20th century is actively engaged in a retrograde Newtonian exploration of outer space. The 20th century is not the era of outer, but of inner space. Ours is the era of the inner trip and DNA. The outer trip is for tourists only. Look at those guys who are trying to get, a ship on Branson's, a seat on Branson's space travel to the moon, outer trip. It's for tourists. The outer trip is for tourists only and for the cultivators of the old hardware, including the old NASA environment. I had that part. No physical or geographic frontiers remain to be crossed. This has already been accomplished electrically. You are sent. Not only is the content and the information sent, you are sent everywhere, and everywhere is sent to you. You have nowhere to go, nowhere to remove. Even the psychic frontier or gap between the conscious and the subconscious has been bridged by the young. They destroyed the difference between the conscious and the literate subconscious by doing drugs. They are oriental, or meditation, they are oriental, electric, and tribal. Now, what Marshall didn't say there, they were also autonomous. They were developing an autonomy that would be made extreme with the digital technology. The inability to perceive the emperor's new clothes technological environments created by major policy decisions. Do that again. The inability to perceive the emperor's new clothes technological environments created by major policy decisions needs no more illustration than Sputnik. From the first moment of the satellite, the Earth ceased to be the human environment. Satellites automatically enclose the old Darwinian nature environment by putting the planet inside a man-made environment. They are just as much an extension of the planet as is clothing an extension of the skin. Page 8. Satellites are equivalent to enclosing the Earth in a Bucky Fuller dome of acoustic space. See, acoustic space is not tactility. The global theater is tactile. Bucky Fuller was just recreating the dome of acoustic space. That's why it was obsolete. The consequent process of archetypalization of nature ensures that the Earth is now an old booster stage, a quaint form of camp, a sort of archaeological museum affording immediate access to all past cultures simultaneously on a classified information basis. The satellite decides for us that our future relation to the planet is one of program. The satellite is also the shift from the planet as a homogeneous continuum or visual space to the planet as a chemical bond or mosaic of resonating components. That would be every city is a suburb of every other city. Resonant cities, resonant suburbs, resonant ghettos. Page 9. Thus, the Earth has become a national or tribal park. It is already a teaching machine. The Earth is a teaching machine, a universal playground for advertisers and teenagers. Now, all the kids were running away, so there was a book that came out at that time, Runaway World by E.R. Leach. In his Runaway World, E.R. Leach notes that a major change had occurred in family and society as a result of 19th century transportation. This is how Freud was created. With the coming of the railway and the steamboat, uncles, cousins, aunts, and grandparents were free to roam the earth and settle in different places. They even went to New Zealand, I would add. The result was that, for the first time in human history, the small family core of parents and children was isolated from the large family, clan, or tribe. Children and parents began to form ever tighter relations and got into a condition of traumatic intensity and involvement sufficiently marked by the advent of Dr. Freud. Just think of the dysfunctional family. The dysfunctional nuclear family has been dysfunctional for 125 years, maybe even more. The same isolation of the family caused by that's why people, you know, more and more single people, they don't even bother having a family. The technology doesn't allow them to. The same isolation, they don't bother having a nuclear family, and they grope towards friends. They grope toward the commune level. The same isolation of the family, but then if you get into RNA drops, then you drop your commune and you become an isolated misanthrope, but having a good, damn good fucking time. The same isolation of the family. What?
An ascended nun.
Yes, we all become nuns and monks. The same isolation of the family caused by modern travel. Do that again. The same isolation of the family caused by modern travel by steam and rail brought about our dense congregations or metropolitan scope, which destroyed family and social life altogether by the elimination of neighborhoods. Access to cheap and rapid mobility makes the steady neighborhood relationship patterns impossible. Access to cheap and rapid mobility makes the steady neighborhood relationship patterns impossible. Now, these were shocking ideas. These are boring ideas now. I mean, for people's understanding of their memes and their belief system, this is important. But he's describing something that everybody is familiar with, right? There's nothing as shocking in a lot of what's being said. Most people have been forced through the 70s, 80s, 90s to live what he's describing. Do I agree? Do I agree with myself?
Yes,
that's you guys.
I mean,
do you agree?
Before, people were contained in their hood all their lives, and now we're in the playground of the planet.
Exactly. Every process pushed to its limits, a little warning here by McLuhan, every process pushed to its limits reverses all of its initial characteristics. The miniskirt is non-erotic. The high-rise apartment, lacking in all human qualities whatever, takes on the monolithic dignity of a prehistoric pyramid. The paradox of the apartment as a non-human pyramid was matched earlier by the grain elevators of the western prairies. These primitive monolithic sculptures rose at the behest of advancing railway lines. The railway is antithetic to this. It's not a monolithic sculpture. It's a perfect example of visual, linear, civilized space. It created the Wild West and the non-visual world of oral values where the ballad reigned supreme once more. Quote, bury me not on the lone prairie. Thus the civilized continuum, when pushed to an extreme by rows of cast steel, returned us, as Joyce Pun, to the barbaric values of the folk and the rows of Castile. Now, I guess that would be a feudal metaphor, the rows of Castile. The punman and the penman, the eye and the ear, well, the punman would be the ear and the penman would be the eye. The ear and the eye meet in pure oppugnancy. Now, Roxy, you got 5 minutes, or do you have to start leaving now?
I have 5 minutes.
Okay, let me see how much of the side probes I can get rid. Unless someone, you have something to say? Anybody? No.
Mm-hmm.
Side probe one, the Civil War of the Senses, Television Kills Telephony and Brothers Broil, Binning's Wake, page 52. No greater cultural difference is conceivable than that between a society built upon the dominant values of the eye and one in which the values of ear and touch have ascendancy and dominate over the eye. Eric Havelock's preface to Plato is an account of the tribal culture of Homer that preceded the visual, newly alphabetized and detribalized world of Plato. It is the story of the shift from the world of the bard and the counter-mosaic to the world of Euclid and intellectual detachment. That's towards visual space. For only the eye among all of our senses permits detachment and the individual or private values of civilization and points of view. Points of view, right? That's when you could have a fixed position. Side probe number two, on the retribalization of our young. At a recent showing, the film The Graduate was preceded with serendipitous appropriateness by a trailer ad for Oedipus the King. D. McLuhan would have noticed that when he went to the theater in either New York City, where he was staying in the summer of 68, or in Toronto. Okay, so a trailer ad for Oedipus the King. The Graduate is Oedipus in reverse. Oedipus was tribal man's struggle to disengage himself from the incestuous kinship bonds of any tribal society. Ben, the Oedipus of The Graduate, is propelled in the opposite direction. His struggle, or tragic agon, involves him in remaking the tribal image for himself, because he's a private literate kid, but he's been made tribal by television and the global theater. So he's involved in the struggle of retrieving the tribal image while Oedipus is forced to go private. His struggle, Ben's, or Tragic Aegon, involves him in remaking the tribal image for himself, just as Oedipus was involved in the struggle of making a private or individual image. Ben is seduced by his own mother, Mrs. Robinson, queen of the jet set of consumer values in suburbia, and violently elopes with his own sister, Elaine. Mrs. Robinson has enough civilization left in her private makeup to fear this elopement as a final betrayal of all her values. Ben's father and Mrs. Robinson's husband are business partners, underlining the kinship bonds of the society. Probe number three, science fiction as rearview mirror. The inability of those involved in any involuntary or unexpected change to become aware of the causes of the change is an abiding human limitation. That's what McLuhan would call the original sin. The Renaissance philosopher Guy Battista Vico regarded this inability as so pervasive that he dubbed it a, quote, universal principle, unquote, uniting all humanity. We're all united in our stupidity. And then we come along and organize ignorance for discovery. A movie like 2001 belongs to 1901 or even to the world of Jules Verne, which was earlier. It is filled, that's Orwell is 1901. It is filled with 19th century hardware and Newtonian imagery. It has few, if any, 20th century qualities. This is natural. The public is not capable of being entertained by awareness of its own condition. That's what we do here. We are doing what the public cannot be entertained by. Fish do not care to think about water. Thanks for the fish. Remember that? Thanks for the fish. Fish do not care to think about water or men about air pollution. There's Ion. Regarding all the ionets and engagers of Ion, it's fish that he eats and throws away. So look at Ion being Egyptian and programming and consuming the world. Fish do not care to think about water or men about air pollution. That's in 1968. By 1970, they started thinking about air pollution because the global theater caused by Sputnik brought in ecology. The New Yorker cartoonist was right when, in portraying two fish on the sand, who have one observed, quote, this is where the action is, unquote. A marvelous parallel is the teacher's query. Remember in War and Peace and Gold Village, it says, a message to the fish fresh out of the water. So McLuhan, it makes that a headline, and the New Yorker cartoon either came before or after that, where the fish lands on the beach, fresh out of water. A marvelous parallel is the teacher's query, what does the 20th century owe to Thomas Edison? And the students reply, without Edison, we would all be watching TV by candlelight. So the student doesn't recognize that media follow from media in a chronological order almost. And you can't have TV without Edison's light bulb. Anyways, I think that's the meaning there. Side probe number four. On the interrelationship between clothing and perception, it was found that primitives could not acquire full literacy until they had costumed themselves in European Western clothing. These clothes literally stored the psychic energies necessary for the huge expenditures that such visual specialism demands. With the planet clothed, as it were, by the satellite, what sort of inclusive global corporate non-special activity time? Well, it would be information play, playing with data, data trash, turning data trash into archetype. Okay, and the final point, as we come up to the last minute, side probe number five, on the obsolescence of the city in quotes, the same process of speed up pushed further in recent years has resulted in a total reversal of the patterns of confusion generated by the first travel revolution of rail and steamboat. So the rail and steamboat revolution created the city, the big megalopolis. But the car decentralized that big city, creating the suburb. The plane made every city, the airplane made every city the suburb of every other city, and the jet bypasses urb and suburb alike, leaving them to decay and befuddle developers. Developers became the figure of the organization of local obsolete city territory. Meantime, children standing in their playpens watching TV ads begin to experience all aspects of the entire globe at once as an intimate portion of the new human environment. The TV generation feels truly at home in any and all parts of the globe. Sorry about that. The TV generation feels truly at home in any and all parts of the globe, except under its own archaically structured roof tree, or as Roxana says to me in the car to the airport, family. She goes, family. With a caught on the videotape. and we leave the session with our memory of Roxana going, family. It's always family.